It's from the Lord. And then the next thing that we've learned is that salvation is by grace through faith. We just tucked that right there in our backpack. Okay? For by grace you have been saved, chapter 2 says, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. So by grace you've been saved. Apart from anything I can do, there's nothing that I can do. I was dead, and he loved me enough to bring me to life. And we looked at that word dead. And I mean, literally, go to the funeral home, speak to the casket, and nothing can come up in that moment. And he brought us back to life. Salvation is, then we also learn, that salvation is one that has brought us together with the company of the Israelites. In other words, an Israelite Christian would say, hey, you need to do all these other things as well. And Paul's saying, no, you're one in Christ. You're one in Christ. You need Christ, and that's it, Christ alone. The third thing, then, is that his plan for telling the world, God's plan for telling the world, we tuck that into our backpack, is through his church. Through the church. And we learned that this mystery that, I mean, where did the church come from? And why is it in the Old Testament? And why is this such a new thing? And Paul say, hey, God put a jammer into the clock of his plan with Israel so that he could save the rest of the world through the church. You're in church today. That's a good thing, right? You're in church today. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
No, my youth pastor made me come, drug me 6 hours in the rain to come to church this morning. Well, no, you're in church. And there's lots of people making other decisions today. I was proud of my son. He said, I'm going to church today, Dad. I'm not going to go play baseball. Right? Because church is the right place to be. And the church is the way that God brings glory to himself. We're to be torchbearers in the church. We're to shine the light. The fourth thing that we learned in this great book, and we're tucking that into our backpack of life, the fourth thing that we learned is that there are ways for us to walk. And all of a sudden, as we learn this, the book takes a switch, you know, it makes a little change, and we're like, how are we supposed to walk then? How are we supposed to do all of these things? And he says, hey, listen, walk worthy. First off, remember that. You know, we kind of get that from our parents every once in a while. You're a Davis. Act like it. Well, you're a Christian. Act like it. Well, how do I do that? And so beginning in chapter 4, he begins to outline, well, you're to walk in unity. And then remember, Jer spoke the message. You're walking to use your gifts that God has given you. And then we looked at walking in holiness. And we're to walk in love and walk in forgiveness. And we're to walk in purity of mind and thought. All of that tucked in to chapter 4 and 5. And then we got into a really, really huge topic. And that is, we are to walk in family matters. Because family matters. And we looked at, remember that Sunday? Wives, where we looked at how a wife was to respond. That's why I saved this really, really big book for that. Because not only did we talk to the wives, the next Sunday we talked to the husbands. You know? And the husbands are just like, I got to do what? I thought I just had to love her. No, you had to love her like Christ loved the church. Sacrificially. And then we talked to the children. We had our children in the service for that one. And we had Boaz and Caleb help me out for a little bit with that one. And you guys remember, children are to obey. But parents are to love. And then lastly, last week, Mike touched on the armor of God. Because this whole book kind of comes full circle, and how do we do this? How do we live this life? And he gives us everything that we need for life and godliness, the scripture says. So, unlike David, who put on Saul's armor, and it was just like, I can't get out there. I'm just going to go on my own. The armor of God fits perfectly in each one of us. And so we tuck that into our backpack of things that we have learned. And we realize that our backpack's kind of heavy. There's a lot here that we have to put into practice. But we can do it. Amen? We can do it. And so that kind of brings us to where we're at today. Our backpack is full, and we ought to live the way we ought to live according to the way that God wants us to live. And how much he loves us and helps our feet be shod with the gospel of peace that allows us to stand firm in trials and shine light and the message of hope to others through our lives. So he says at the final greeting, verse 21, so that you may know how I am doing, Tychicus. Now, if anybody of you want to name a Bible name in the future, baby Tychicus would be welcome in our church. Tychicus, he's a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I sent him for you for this very purpose, that he may encourage your hearts. See, this is a letter of encouragement. And hopefully you have been encouraged. Peace be to you, my brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ and with love incorruptible. Now, That's the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. I want to cycle back as our last message and touch on something I said 2 weeks ago. And it begins with verse 8. And so I want to share with you, in the time that we have remaining, what I titled in your notes, The Law of the Harvest. Verse 8 and verse 9 say this. I'm going to start with verse 7. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. And then Paul goes on to write, and remember, we're talking about employees, employers here, because we don't really deal with the slavery issue. Masters, do the same. And so there's a thought here of doing good and you'll receive back from the Lord. I love what Colossians 3:23 says. I think I have it up on the screen so we don't have to cycle through your Bible as much here. But it's good to know where this verse is at. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says this. The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And now for the text that I want us to turn to, let's cycle back one book, the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verse 7. On screen we have verse 6, I guess we might as well start there since it's on screen. All right, everybody there? Everybody got their Bible? Anybody need a Bible? Well, we like to say every week that if you need a Bible, we have a Bible. Our middle name is Harvest Bible Chapel. So make sure it's our workbook for life, so make sure that we have it. Anybody need a Bible, just slip up your hand, and Rick will make sure you get one. Okay? Verse 6 says this. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Okay, let's go back to verse 7. Let's start with this word. Well, let me just start by saying this, okay? I'm going to be preaching a message today on the laws of the harvest. This past week, I spent a lot of time in this book called The Seven Laws of the Harvest. I'm taking the outline from this, just so you understand. It's a fantastic book. You can pick it up on Amazon for like $5-6. John Lawrence wrote it. When I read it the first time back in 1999, it was under the title of a different name, God's proven plan for abundant life. This is not a message about prosperity. This is about a message about how to live your Christian life so that it pleases the Lord. Okay? So, with those words in mind, let's look at verse 7. And let's begin with this. Do not be deceived. You see it there? Point to it in your Bibles. Do not be deceived. You should underline that. Underline that in your Bible. See, because a lot of us are just deceived by what we do. Or we think, it's really do not be fooled. And we kind of feel like we're fooling God. We're getting away with this. God doesn't know. I did this in my basement, in my room. Nobody was looking. Don't be deceived. Don't be a fool. What's the next words? God is not what? Mocked. In other words, no one is fooling God. No one is going around saying, I got this one past God. Paul's saying through the Holy Spirit, don't be foolish, not going to happen. Everybody say, not. Right. It's not going to happen. Nothing gets by God. Amen? Get a chance right there for an amen. I'll say it again. Nothing gets by God. Amen. Do not be deceived. Nothing goes unnoticed. Nothing bad goes without recompense. You may be thinking, well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, listen, a day is as 1,000 years for the Lord, so he's still in a day. And we're moving on thinking we got this taken care of. Right? God is not mocked. He'll take care of you before his day's out. So, your time is not his time. The point of this is this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whoever sows, or for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. It's a farming thing, okay? It's a farming thing. Picture 6,000 acres in Iowa, unplanted, where corn used to grow. That's the idea of sowing. Whatever one sows, that he will also reap. But sowing has its principles in the Scriptures as well. I've showed you four verses. There's others, but those are the four just in the New Testament here. The Scripture says, let's go a little bit deeper here. The one who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to yourself, okay? The one who sows to your sinful nature will of your sinful nature reap corruption. It's kind of a bad thing, right? Everybody shake your head, yeah? But I love the next word. What's the next word? But. I love those buts in the Bible. Because there's always something really fantastic coming right after that. But the one who sows to this Holy Spirit, or the one who sows to the Spirit, will reap from the Spirit eternal life. So, from this, seven principles, okay? Someone asked me before the service, what time are we done? I'm like, when we're done. But this is a pretty mild outline because it was pretty big before. I'm sorry about that. We'll try to go through these quickly. Here's principle number one. We reap much we didn't sow. We reap sometimes, on occasion, things we didn't sow. Some things are graciously planted into our lives by God or by your parents. Lamentations 3 says that his mercies, everything that God is, that word mercy there, it's everything that encompasses God's character is new to you every morning. Did you plant that? But he gives it to you. So some things we reap that we didn't sow. We're the benefactors. We're oftentimes the benefactors of labor that others have thrown into our life. We drive on roads that we didn't really take care of. We eat food that we didn't really plant. in teenagers' cases, we eat food that our parents planted through their wallet. We sometimes reap much that we didn't sow. Many of you would say, you know, I had a faithful grandma. She prayed for me. The reason I came to Jesus Christ, I know, is because my faithful grandma was on her knees. Did you plant that? There's healing. There's repentance. You didn't sow that. Negatively speaking, though, tares and wheat are often sowed into the lives of children by their parents. In one of our messages, we talked about the Hatfields and the McCoys. Right? Think of those innocent children that were killed because of hatred that was planted by two men into a lifelong legacy, the number one across the world rivalry between clans is the Hatfields and the McCoys. And children upon children upon children that bought into something they hated, they didn't sow that. We have a friend, we have a couple boys that tried out for a baseball team this year. Good athletes, excellent athletes. They didn't make the team because their dads were bothering the coach too much. Did they sow that? We often reap much we didn't sow. Parents, just a little application for you here real quick. Be careful what you're sowing, because it will affect a whole generation after you. Irresponsibility, hatred. It's interesting, as your children get older, how much you realize they do things that you wish they wouldn't do, and you've taught them that. And sometimes we reap what we haven't sown. Then sometimes we reap the same kind as we sow. We reap the same kind as we sow. Any farmers here? Any gardeners? Where's our farmers in this group? Come on, raise your hand. Farmers, gardeners, okay. All right, so any just auditorium-wide, anybody plant a garden this year? One tomato plant counts, right? All right, so you take that watermelon seed, you put it in the ground, and when you come back like 6 weeks later, all of a sudden you see have carrots. You're like, that's not possible. Exactly. You plant cantaloupe, and all of a sudden you have a grapevine. Uh-uh. You plant corn, you expect to get corn. All right, so I get the farmer thing, Nate, right. But do you get the biblical principle? The notion that we can spend our entire week sowing sinfulness, and somehow by going to church on Sunday, we can pray for crop failure, doesn't exist. You reap what you sow in the same kind. Look at verse 8 again. For the one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. If we sow good, we reap good. Amen. Ephesians 6:8. Anyone who sows any good anyone does, he will reap back from the Father, or receive back from the Father. So, you know when I say personal ministry line, like personal growth line? You're like, I'm up and down, Nate. I'm up and down. I seem like I've plateaued. I'm not doing anything. This feeds right into it. What are you sowing throughout the week? You're going to reap that. Do you get the principle when I say you can't plant negative things all week, things to the flesh, and then come to here on church on Sunday and sit in those seats and raise your hands in worship and say, Lord, please forget all of the bad things I did this week? That's not possible. Forgiveness? Yes. But you're sowing things into your life. This is an important principle too. It's a farmer principle. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap in a different season when we sow. My mom would say, when we were kids, I'd help her in the kitchen a lot. And my mom would say, "Watch pot never boils, Nate." You know what that means? Like you put the pot on and all of a sudden it's like, why isn't it boiling it? Why isn't it boiling it? It never boils, Mom. You walk away for a second and it's a brrr, overflowing. I would say a watched garden never grows. Like you plant it and then you come out there the next day and you're expecting the corn stalk to be like 8 feet tall. The tomatoes should have tomatoes on the vine. They should be red. I should be able to pluck them. It's day one of the garden. Does that work, farmers? Does it work? Everybody shake their head no, at least so I know you're awake. No. It doesn't work that way. We reap in a different season than we sowed. Little Johnny had some friends over to the house. The story was told during the Depression. Mom had brought home a watermelon for the family for dessert. And she told the boys, "Don't eat it. Don't eat it. It's for dessert. We're going to have it for dessert." And so little Johnny, when Mom left the room, grabbed the watermelon, ran outside, and him and the boys just ate the thing up. Overtaken by their desire to have the watermelon on a hot summer day. Now, when you've sinned, what do? They had a problem. What do I do with... Because you don't eat the whole watermelon, right? There's certain things you don't eat. The rind. Unless your name's Justin. So they covered it up. They dug a hole. They put it in the ground. They covered it up. Went back inside. Face all cleaned up. Mom comes back in the kitchen and she... "Johnny!" "Yes, Mom." "Where's the watermelon?" I have no idea. So he covered it up and then he lied about it. That night, overcome with grief, he thought, I'm going to tell Mom about this in the morning. Went to sleep, forgot all about it. Days turned to weeks, weeks turned to months. It's near the end of the summer and they're walking in their garden. They're walking along the fence line. And Mom says to Johnny, "Well, what's that?" And where they had dug the ditch and hid the watermelon, a watermelon had grown. Not just one watermelon, many watermelons. And then he had to tell. And then he had to reap the benefit. He had to reap the punishment. Numbers 32:23 says this, "Be sure," listen, "with this principle, be sure your sins will find you out." Jesus said the same thing that Solomon said. Things done in secret will one day come to light. You may think you got away with it, church, but you reap in a different season than when you sowed. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing this and you've sinned, and instead of dealing with it God's way, which is open confession, accountability, repentance, you're hoping that it'll all just go away, except you reap in a different season. So my question to you is, are you ready for it to come out? Because be sure your sins will find you out. On the positive side of this, that people that understand this principle of sowing in my life, they understand how God works. And they're thinking eternal reapings. They're thinking, I'm sowing so that Matthew 6 can come true in my life, laying up for myself treasures in heaven. God is good for it. And I may never see the reward on this side, but I know that I will see it when I get to heaven. Number 4, we reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. I planted corn last year. It's the first year that I ever planted corn. It was wonderful. Anybody plant corn before? Anybody? Raise your hands. Okay. So you know that you take one kernel, right, and you put it in the ground and you cover it over and a stalk grows. And on that stalk, you could get up to 3 ears of corn. Every one of those ears of corn fresh with kernels. I've tried to do the math. One seed, 800 seeds for one ear. 2,400 seeds for one stalk. This is great. You know, if this principle weren't there, there would be no farming. Okay? Plant one seed, get more out of it. In farming, one seed equals 3 years of corn. I think it's somewhere around an increase of 80,000%. That's a lot. God's word in Hosea says that if you sow to the wind, you will reap a whirlwind. That's a very sobering fact. When you think about what you've sowed this week, discord, lying, stealing from work, you reap more than you sow. Proverbs 22, verse 8 says, whoever sows an injustice reaps calamity. The rod that they wield will, in fury, be broken. Consider for a moment the life of David, most powerful king in all of Israel. God said that he loved David because David loved him, except for the moment with Bathsheba and the evil where he broke the entire second half of the commandments. He stole. He lied. He committed adultery. He coveted his neighbor's house and wife. And he murdered. Did he reap more than he sowed in that case? He had Uriah murdered and the sword never left his house. Sons were born and died. Four of his children died by the sword. He took for himself Uriah's wife, and his wives and concubines were taken from him by his son Absalom. He took Uriah's wife in secret, Bathsheba, and his concubines and wives were defiled in public so that all of Israel could see it. We need to understand this principle. The judgment is always greater than the sin. David paid fourfold for the death of Uriah. And why is this? God is not mocked. Don't be fooled. You can't plant seeds of sin on Monday through Thursday and pray for crop failure on Friday. Now, the positive of this law is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication present your requests to the Lord, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The reward for a righteous life is peace from God. The reward for a life of iniquity is what? Anxiety, stress. Sow seeds in your life to the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm saving that for the end. We'll get to that. Okay. Now, number five. We reap in proportion to what we have sowed. And I got to thinking this week, I've had some conversations with people and they're like, look up here for a minute. They're like, I have never had anything spiritually happen to me. I've never been on fire for the Lord. Sow zero, receive zero. Right? The farmer who sows no seeds, what's he going to get? Nothing. Edible. The farmer who sows two seeds, what's he going to get? Everybody hold up two fingers. Two plants, right? Today I'm going to sow a corn seed and a watermelon seed. And you're going to get one corn stalk and you're going to get one watermelon. You sow you reap in proportion to what you've sown. The person who sows an acre receives an acre. The same is true in your spiritual life. The question is, what are you sowing? The scripture says in Hebrews 6:10 that God is not a debtor to no man. He will repay. Okay? He will repay. He's not a debtor. He is not unjust to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name's sake in serving the saints. Now, I did write this down because I don't want to be misconstrued here. Because some of you are thinking, oh, I know where he's going. Oh, we're starting a capital campaign. He's going to start asking for money. Sow an acre. You're going to receive an acre. I thought about having some prayer tiles up here this morning that I could just, $1,000, sow to the Lord. That's not where I'm headed. And if you think money is the most important thing, first off, you got it all wrong. That's like the lowest thing. Though we would want more. All of us would, I mean, maybe you're out there and you're like, I got too much. Well, help the rest of us. Right? But that's right down here. That's surface. That's whatever. But think about who wouldn't want to reap young children coming to Christ, family members that were living in sin, repenting and returning to the Lord, healing over cancer or whatever things might come. All of these are rewards that you reap from the Lord for a faithful life of sowing. He is not unjust, Hebrews says, to overlook your work. Remember that this week. He is not unjust. Two more to go. We will reap a full harvest of good only if we persevere. Evil comes to the harvest on its own. Gardeners, again, how many of you have planted weeds? Well, I got 3 carrots and I got this bucket of weeds that I'm just going to throw out here. But that's what we get, though, isn't it? Like, if you're at my house today, I'll take you back there and you can weed my garden. I didn't plant any of those. Evil comes on its own. You don't have to worry about that. Okay? But listen, you only reap the reward if you persevere. I left my garden go for 6 weeks, and now look at it. It's got worms in it, and there's like a rabbit got in there. And you have to take care of it. In a spiritual sense, 8 times in the book of Revelation, God says, the one that overcomes will receive from me. And you can read it, chapters 2 and 3. He says, I have overcome, therefore I am seated at the right hand of the Father. Persevere to the end. A couple things on this. Romans. I've been reading Romans 5 a lot lately. But evil comes by itself. You will receive opposition in this life. And sometimes God delays. And the delays of God are only disciplines to prepare us for better things. Consider David, again, who sat in the back with the sheep, even though he'd been crowned the king of Israel. And then he had to serve. And then he got chased around by the king. And years of delay. Moses, 40 years in the desert, wanting to rescue the children of Israel. And finally the Lord sends him. Last year I planted corn, I told you that. First time I went out to reap the corn, I got 12 ears of corn. 12. Again, I don't have that many fingers. Right? It was so good. But it took work. I had to chase off the animals. I had to weed that. I had to protect it. Keep the aggressive animals and deers away. The same is true in your life. If you value your spiritual life, it takes work. Persevere to the end. Number 7, we can't do anything about last year's crop. You're sitting there today and you're like, Nate, that's the, you're hitting me with it. It's like, oh, there's another one. Oh, that's another one. I'm just thinking about everything I did before. We can't do anything about that. You can only do something about next year's. Okay? Harvest is coming on that. Paul writes this And think of Paul's life. He's stoned. He was stoned. He imprisoned. He was imprisoned. He left people for dead. He was left for dead. He murdered. And ultimately, he was murdered. We can't do anything about what we've planted. Okay? Last year's crop, it's gonna come. You can pray and ask for forgiveness. God will grant it. 1 John 1:9, it's one of the verses we've been learning. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But sometimes consequences come because of the sin. And we can pray that God will help us through it. Because God is not mocked, right? We sowed it, we'll reap it. But it's pretty awful, Nate. Yeah, I know. If I just stopped there and said, you are loved, it might be a wrong spot. So I threw some positives in here at the end. Some application, if you will. Application number one. Based on what we've read in the book of Ephesians, we have been rescued through salvation by an amazing God. Amen? And even when we didn't love Him, He loved us. Number two, things I've learned from the book of Ephesians. We've been called to walk worthy of the high calling and have been instructed to bear the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the dark world. Our job is not to set policy. Our job is to bear the light. And they will know you are Christians by your love. That's our job. That's what we're called to do. Be light bearers. And I'm reminded that in everything we should sow well. Sow well. Well, how do I do that, Nate? How do I... You've been saying this and I want to know, what am I supposed to do? I want to know. Look at verse 10. Everybody there? Say, I'm there. Say, I'm there. All right. Here's how we sow well. So then, as we have opportunity, stop there. As you have opportunity. Opportunity comes a knocking every day. How do I sow well? As you have opportunity. You're going to have opportunity the rest of the day. Are you going to sow well into it? Are you going to love the person that seems to be a bit unlovable? You're going to have opportunity. Are you going to hide your light under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. We did a little, pastors, when we get together, we're always trying to one-up each other. It's a spiritual gift. But we tried to do some things, like we went to this restaurant, it wasn't very nice, but we tried to like one-up each other when it was being courteous to the waitress. You know, so we started with a smile. Everybody smiled. Hey, Betsy. You know, and then started with a wave. Hey, Betsy. And then we all tried to pay for somebody else's meal. As we have opportunity, right? You're going to have an opportunity if you go out to lunch today. And you just tell the waitress, hey, see that couple over there? We've done this. Jamie and I have done this. Like people we know that she works with or I've worked with. And we're like, hey, Doc and his wife came in and we're going to pay for their meal. Don't tell them. Just send me the check after they've ordered. And then we'll pay for it. And then when we leave, then just tell them they don't have a bill. What? And I'm here to tell you, it was 3 months later, and she tracked me down, and she said, I've been looking for you for 3 months. I'm like, okay, what did I do? What did I do? You paid for our meal. And that really ministered to our hearts. I'm like, oh, at least we could do. We had some extra money. We just thought we'd pay for your meal because you're our friends. Maybe we'll have a Sunday where we all leave here and we're going to go pay for somebody's meal at a restaurant. Plus your own, right? As you have opportunity. Share the love of Christ. Opportunities are everywhere. Back to the verse. Everybody there? Say, I'm there.
I'm there.
All right, good. You guys are awesome. See it here? Let us do, what's the word? Good to who? Define everyone for me. Yeah. I see, I knew some of you would be like, well, that's kind of, can you maybe give me the Greek on that, Nate? So I did look it up. Translated all people. All is translated everyone. What? They got it right? Unbelievable. Every human being of all races, colors, and creeds. As we have opportunity, do what?
Good.
Good, right? To all people. To everyone. You want to sow well, do good to everyone. Look for opportunities. I'm really interested to find out from our group from Lancaster, because this is something we want to do in coming up in maybe July, end of July or August, how their community week went. What did we get? What did you guys call that? Where you all went out and did stuff?
Go beyond.
And for a Sunday, they met at the church. They didn't have a message that Sunday. And, you know, they did the normal stuff that they had to do, and then boom, gone. Nobody in the church, but they're out in the community going beyond. As you have an opportunity to do good to all men, they were just doing good. And this year, like 8 or 9 other churches joined in. That's pretty amazing. Sharing the love of Christ by acts of service. Do good to everyone regardless of how they look or smell or even that mean old lady in the drive-thru at Wendy's. Do good. Do good. And then finally, see it there, especially those of the household of faith. Do good to everyone, but most importantly, especially to those of the household of faith. Well, why would he put that in there, Nate? Why would he put that? That just makes no sense to me. We're supposed to do good to everybody. Why don't I just stop it there? Well, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit in his infinite wisdom looked ahead to our time. Right? Because the church really loved each other back then. But in our time, I had a boy tell me during baseball, he's like, I think I'm a Christian and a Methodist. It's like a 50-50 thing. And so one of the kids is like, well, what's the difference? See, that's the problem right there. There is difference, scripturally, between churches. But in this church, as they look at us, do we love each other and do good as we have opportunity? Because the world is watching. And they're looking at us first. They're looking to others in the church. So what can you do? Give of your time, give of your talents, give of your treasures. Oh, I knew you'd talk about money. Yeah, okay. It's in the Bible. Deal with it. Bless the house of God by your efforts. During our pastor's retreat this last week, during when I was getting together these sermon series that we're going to be doing in the future, and as our worship team comes, I was challenged a good bit by a lot of things that were said, but one of the things that just stuck out to my mind, I just couldn't let it go. And it kind of comes to full circle with this whole thing of sowing and reaping. So I want to leave you with this thought. You guys ready? Okay, look up here. I don't have to write any of this down. This is just me and you here now. If you were in an accident this week, and all you could remember was the previous week, what would you remember that told you you were a Christian? It's about sowing and reaping. He who sows to the flesh will reap from the flesh. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Are you building into your life the things that God would have you build into your life based on His Word? Are you building into your marriage the things that we have learned about love, respect, submission? So that, God forbid, if that were to happen to you, you'd be like, there's so much I remember from last week. I was reading those Bible verses Pastor Nate put in the bulletin. I memorized that verse. I thought about how the Holy Spirit worked in my life. I prayed for all those people that He sent me that email about. I shared the gospel. The gospel. I remember the gospel. That's what saved me. Heavenly Father, it's a dangerous thing to talk about sowing and reaping. But we need to put all of Your Word into practice. And there's moments where we haven't sowed as we should. We ask for Your forgiveness for that. I pray this week, God, that we would be sowing the seeds of faithfulness because we love You. We're so blessed to have the book of Ephesians, Your words to us as a church, and how we are to abide and how we are to walk and how we are to bear much fruit. Your word says that apart from You, that we can do nothing, that You would desire that we would bear much fruit. And You showed us this principle, this principle of farming, such a big thing in Your Word about sowing and reaping. And we ask that You would help us to sow well. We can't do anything about what's been sowed already. We ask us in the future You would allow us to sow well. We can only have the harvest if we persevere to the end. We realize that evil comes. Help us to persevere. Help us not to be drawn away. Help us to sow in proportion as to what we want to receive. Heaven forbid we sow nothing but bury our talent in the dirt. Lord, take what You've given us, whether it's 4 or 8 or 10 talents, and help us to double them for Your honor and for Your glory. And help us to be reminded in everything that we do that there is a sowing and there is a reaping principle. And whether it happens right away or whether it happens next week or 3 years from now, You will not be mocked. So as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. If you're here today and you desire to know more about the Christian life, or maybe you just wanted to talk to me about something you heard during the message, I'll be right down here during the final song, and we'd love to talk, or I can talk to you afterwards. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, our desire is that you come to know Him as we know Him, by faith. It's the gift of God. He'd love to give it to you. All you have to do is receive it. Receive it to yourself. So let today be the day, amen? All right, let's stand and let's sing.